The best weekend of the NFL season has come and gone, and there is way too much to talk about and not enough time. Sam, I am fired up for multiple reasons. I mean, this weekend of football was outstanding. I actually have something to celebrate as a Raiders fan. It is – oh, and I wanted picks this week, so I'm coming back against you. So just multiple good things happening today.
What is it, 5-3 now?
It is 5-3, slowly making a comeback. I went 4-1 in picks this week.
Yeah, I'm happy for you, man. No more Mr. Nice Guy this time. I'm not choosing these long shot underdogs. Certainly not choosing the Falcons anymore. There's going to be a lot of things, a lot of changes this week.
I will say that this past week you did pick the Falcons, Panthers, and the Jets to win.
Oh, God, that Jets one did not look good.
No, it did not. That game was really hard to watch.
You can't even be happy as a Chargers fan. We can start there. That Chargers offense, I guess, silver lining is the Jets defense has done that to a lot of teams. But, man, that Chargers offense just – we think of it as one of these elite offenses in the league, but it's not – I wouldn't say it's like a top five offense.
Well, so you wouldn't know by the stats that the Jets lost as badly as they did. I mean, if you're looking at the one big red flag in favor of the Chargers is the fact that the Jets lost 3 fumbles. But if you were looking at everything else, the Jets had 270 total yards. The Chargers had 191. The Jets threw for more yards. They only rushed for 20 less yards, but they had 3 more first downs. They ran about 20 more plays, and they punted less time, too. And they had the ball longer than the Chargers, and they still lost by 21 points.
Yeah, those turnovers were killer. I mean, I was watching the first quarter. I think that was the longest first quarter I've ever seen. We kept looking back. We were watching the Kings game at the same time, and it was like, oh my God, there's still 10 minutes left in this first quarter, and it's just turnover, penalty, yeah. All these things happening, different change of possessions. It's like, do either of the team really want to win? And the unfortunate part was, like, Herbert is by far the best quarterback, but he was under pressure the whole night. It's this offensive line for the Chargers is just not as good. And I don't, off the top of my head, I don't think anyone's injured for that team. Maybe I think their all-pro center is injured, actually. But other than that, I think it's a relatively healthy offensive line, and they're just struggling to keep him upright.
Well, and on the Jets, on the Jets side, the recipe for success for the New York Jets going forward is not going to be having Zach Wilson throw the ball 49 times.
Oh, that's how many times he threw?
Yeah, he went 33 for 49. That's not going to be. That won't be their recipe for success. Now, maybe Zach Wilson won't have to be out there that much longer. Rodgers was quoted saying, give me a few weeks, I believe was almost exactly what he said. I think he said a couple weeks. I don't know what that means. Yeah,
he said it was in jest. It was tongue in cheek, just kind of like the expression of.
Oh, I know. But I mean, he seems to really...
He's going to be back.
He seems to believe he's coming back.
Well, he will. I mean, he will. There's still a lot that has to happen. I mean, even if the guy is able to run, he has to be able to pass these things that say, if he gets tackled, if he has a grown man on his back, is his Achilles going to, like, tear again? I think there's a lot of stuff that he has to still get through.
I will still maintain that I don't think it's worth him coming back this season, regardless of anything. I don't care if the Jets have – I don't care if they end up first in their division. It just – I don't think that it's – I don't think it's worth it to rush him back this way. Because you want, hopefully, 2, possibly 3 more years out of Rodgers. And if he comes back too quick and he gets hurt again, then you get 0 Rodgers.
Yeah, but I think this is a pretty desperate franchise. They need something to go right. They had this big move in the offseason. If he's at what, 70%, that's still way better than
yeah,
what you're
but,
getting from Zach Wilson.
And granted, you're right. They are a desperate franchise. They do need this to go right. But if Rodgers gets hurt, then it never went right. And then it'll never have been it won't have been worth it. So that's – I guess I'm trying to think of – and I guess Aaron Rodgers is never really – I mean, with his age and stuff, it's never really a long-term proposition. But it'll be a whole hell of a lot longer if he doesn't get hurt this season after coming back. Then
you know what the wild thing too is, Cam Akers, the running back on Minnesota, was the one that got this like experimental surgery first. Mm-hmm. He just tore his Achilles again.
Yeah.
So it's like, is that, what does that mean for Rodgers and guys like J.K. Dobbins? And there was one other that just got put in there too. What is this surgery? Like, does this surgery actually get your Achilles fully back? Or is it more, I don't know, vulnerable to rupture again?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Again, I will continue to maintain that I don't think it's worth them rushing Rodgers back. I know that the Jets are, I mean, they're at 4-4, so realistically, mm-hmm. they are still in it for the playoffs.
Big time. They can win this division.
I mean, I don't think they could win the division. I mean, I guess the record would indicate that it's certainly possible, but the Bills and Dolphins are definitely better than both than the Jets. We'll get to both of those teams.
But the Dolphins, they should be running away with this division, and they're just, I don't know, just kind of letting everyone hang around.
Well, let's go through this weekend. The Dolphins would be a good place to start because they were the early game on Sunday. They played Kansas City. They lose 14-21. Kansas City doesn't have – well, they really don't have a monster game. I guess neither team really nope. – I mean, it was a competitive game. And even, you know, with games that are 14-21, you can still have, you know, a lot of really – awesome and significant plays being happening, but it really wasn't that. It was a pretty, I don't know. I don't want to say it wasn't exciting, but it wasn't that exciting. Neither team went over 300 yards, neither quarterback, at least. Neither I'm double checking this before I say it, but neither quarterback threw for over 200 yards. I know Travis Kelce, I know that specifically because he did nothing for me in fantasy. he didn't have a great day. Going over to the Dolphins stars, Tyreek, he didn't have more than 62 yards. Jaylen Waddle didn't have more than 50 yards. Like, it really wasn't that big of a day for either team. I don't know if that has more to do with the fact that they were playing in Germany or what, but you're going to hear this notion more and more and more, at least until the Dolphins prove that this isn't what they are, that they're just beating up on bad teams. And that's all that they are this year.
Yeah. Which is going to be enough for them to make it to the playoffs. Cause unfortunately in the NFL, I think there's a lot of teams that are worse off than the Dolphins that they should definitely handle. It's just, they haven't been able to get up into that top tier in the NFL, especially in the AFC. If they were able to beat Buffalo or Kansas City, I think people will be taking them seriously. But now that there's this big question mark with them.
Well, it's going to be interesting because you said it's going to be enough for them to make it to the playoffs. Their next five games are against the Raiders, the Jets, the Commanders, the Titans, and then the Jets again.
Yeah, so, they should be favored and they should win.
Yeah, they
all five of those games.
All five of those games, they're probably going to be favored in. And they finish the season with Dallas, Baltimore, and Buffalo. Mm-hmm. So that's a rough way to end your year. But, I mean, they could – you're right. They theoretically could just get fat on these five teams, which would get them to 11 wins.
Yep.
And that should be enough for them to make it into the playoffs. But, I mean, we can't ignore, and nobody can ignore, the fact that when they've gone up against these good teams, they haven't looked good.
Yeah, those last three games that you mentioned are huge opportunities for them to really put these questions to bed. If they were able to go out and beat Baltimore, especially with how
and that'll good be Baltimore, in Baltimore
is looking, yeah, with how well their defense is playing, how physical they're playing against sort of the style that the Dolphins play, which is a little bit more finessed. I mean, Kansas City out-physicaled the Dolphins and totally threw them off their game. Did they shut them out in that first half, or was
They did
shut them out in that first half. So Kansas City was up 21-0. On that side for the Dolphins, that's a little discouraging. But again, it's overseas game in Germany. No team really has looked good overseas. And you can count the Chiefs in that because they looked – I mean, they just weren't Kansas City.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's something that needs to be pointed out this year is that Kansas City's defense is legit. Mm-hmm. Like, they are really good this year. I'm looking at a – I wanted to see quickly if I could pull up maybe like a power rankings from a sports website, kind of where – just get a rough estimate on where people think that they're at. And there's a website right here called, like, it's called Sports Knot, and they have them third. The only defense ahead of them that they have is Cleveland and Baltimore. They even put the Jets defense behind Kansas City's right now. And I'll read you a few stats about their defense right now. Kansas City went to Germany allowing the second fewest yards per play, 4.7, in the NFL, with opponents converting on just 37.9% of their third down attempts. So... And that's something that I think over this, like, dynastic run that the Chiefs have gone on, that we haven't really associated with them. It's always been, you know, Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, the offense, Andy Reid. It really hasn't been the defense, but their defense is elite this year. And it's one of those things where it's kind of scary if you're in the AFC looking at the Chiefs, because even if they are off offensively, I mean, they can legitimately shut you out now.
Yeah, big time. I think it's the speed that they've had. They've really done well in drafting, filling in those spots. There's stars like Chris Jones, who's a defensive player of the year candidate almost every year. But outside of that, I mean, it's just a lot of speed, a lot of who is there? Is it Steve Spagnuolo?
Mm-hmm.
Is still their DC? And he's been there for a long time, and they've had Mahomes, which of course he's going to say this, but he said that this is probably the best defense he's ever played with on a team. But I think they're really showing true to that. And they've been pretty consistent the entire year.
Yeah. And we'll get to a power rankings later. I haven't peeked at it yet. But I'm going to be really curious to see where the Chiefs and Baltimore rank I believe I have ESPN's power rankings, because those two teams right now feel like the clear-cut best two teams mm-hmm. in the AFC. But I'm going to be really interested to see what ESPN deems as the better team. Let's move on, because there are a lot of games that we have to get to, because there were just a lot of fascinating stories this weekend. And perhaps the most fascinating one was Joshua Dobbs and the Minnesota Vikings beating the Atlanta Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
That was absolutely ridiculous. So I have a thing right here from ESPN and ESPN NFL, and this was a tweet from Kevin Seifert. He works for ESPN. So here's a little tweet that he had. Incredible stories from the Vikings locker room today. Josh Dobbs didn't take a single rep with the offense in practice. No snaps from Garrett Bradbury, had never thrown a pass to anyone, and didn't know most of their full names. That's for next week, he said. Well, let me read you Joshua Dobbs' stats. He went 20 for 30, 158 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, and led a game-winning drive to beat the Falcons. That dude is awesome. I mean, everything he's done this year has just been absolutely just brilliant to watch. I would be shocked if he's not somebody's quarterback next year.
I mean, he could be Minnesota's.
He could be Minnesota's.
If they were to let Kirk Cousins walk. It's bizarre if you're thinking about what Arizona was thinking as well. Because they could have...
They just want to tank. How about that?
They could have held on to Josh Dobbs, could have signed him to a lower contract, could have tried to get rid of Kyler Murray, try to move off of him. Oh, man, or... a team like Cleveland, they had this guy in their locker room. Yep. And he would have been perfect. Probably he's playing better than Deshaun Watson's played so far in a Cleveland Browns uniform. So it's a lot of those things like, is he going to win comeback player of the year with this performance? Maybe.
I mean, if he keeps it up, I could easily see a world where next year Joshua Dobbs is the starting quarterback for the Commanders, the Giants, if they don't draft a quarterback.
The Falcons.
The Falcons. Yeah. Depending on what – I don't know.
Giants.
I don't know what the contractual situation is with the Rams and Matthew Stafford, but maybe the Rams. I don't know. I'd be very surprised if he doesn't play himself into at least a starting job somewhere. Like, and I feel like the Commanders or the Giants, or like you said, even the Falcons would be a fairly reasonable place for him to land.
Or, you know, I mean, Raiders, Broncos, no. Patriots.
I wouldn't talk about the Raiders with that. Mm-mm. Nope.
Oh, wow. You saw one game of Kevin O'Connell and you're already there.
Kevin O'Connell is still the coach for the Minnesota Vikings. So
are you sure? I thought he suited up for the Raiders in their big win.
Honestly, I'm surprised he didn't suit up for Minnesota this week.
He could sling it a little bit.
He can. Well, he was a quarterback, so but yeah, Joshua Dobbs and the Vikings, 31-28 over the Falcons. That was an awesome game. Let's get to what was potentially the best game of the entire weekend. I know everybody was highlighting Cowboys-Eagles, and I guess rightfully so, but the best game of the weekends was the Texans-Buccaneers game, the 39-37 game. C.J. Stroud goes 30 for 42, 470 yards, 5 touchdowns. I want to read you the list. This is – so they showed this stat on Red Zone, and I took a picture of it because I wanted to read – this list, because it's just the most random compilation of quarterbacks I've ever seen in my entire life. So this is most pass yards by a rookie in a single game in NFL history. And I'll start from the bottom. Andrew Luck in 2012 had 433 yards. Next on the list is Kellen Moore for Dallas in 2016, 435 yards. Next is Jeff Garcia, 1999, 437 yards. Next is Aaron Brooks, 2000. Ooh. I know, in 2000, 441 yards. And then in 2002, Mark Bulger, 2002, 453 yards. And then C.J. Stroud with 400. That is the most random grouping of quarterbacks I've ever heard in my entire life.
So could this be taken as a bad sign for C.J. Stroud?
Maybe.
Did he peak too early?
Maybe. Oh. But, I mean, the numbers out of this game were crazy. If you started any of the Texans' offensive players this game, you were living well in fantasy. Noah Brown, 6 receptions, 153 yards, 1 touchdown. Dalton Schultz, 10 catches, 130, 1 touchdowns. I mean, 1 touchdown. Tank Dell, 6 receptions, 114 yards, 2 touchdowns. Nico Collins, 3 catches, 54 yards, 1 touchdown. And then obviously C.J. Stroud went ballistic because he threw all of those touchdowns.
Right.
That was an insane game. Whether it was Baker leading the Bucs down to what appeared to be the game-winning drive or C.J. getting the ball back with very little time, that game was amazing.
So what do we think that this Texans team is? Are they closer to the team that just scored 39? On a pretty good Tampa Bay defense that's played pretty well this year, or are they close to the team that lost 13-15 against Carolina?
Well, this is also the same team who they beat Jacksonville. They did lose to the Ravens, but that was their first game of the season. And if I remember correctly, that game was ugly for the most part. The first half of that game was 6-7. Baltimore had a good third quarter, but other than that game was really, really ugly. I'm looking at the Texans' schedule. They really haven't played anybody outside of Baltimore and Jacksonville that has been, I don't know, what we would consider, you know, an upper echelon team. Like, they've played, I mean, I guess the Steelers are 5-3, but they whooped the Steelers. They mm-hmm. beat the Saints. They lost a close one to the Falcons. I don't know. It's, you know, I'll tell you what, we'll learn a whole hell of a lot this weekend. They play the Bengals.
Yeah, but that Bengals team's already all the way back.
I know they're all the way back, but if we think that Houston is a potential playoff team,
I don't though. That's what I'm. I think that's the big question though. Like I think they have a high ceiling. I just don't think they can reach it more often than not. I have more confidence in the Chargers, who are 4-4.
I don't.
Even for some reason, the Bills. You know, I think the Chargers are one of those teams like Miami. Like, they'll beat the teams that they should beat and lose to all the good teams. So we think, oh, well, that team's not very good. But then they end up having, like, an all right record.
Mm-hmm.
Who's better today, Texans or Chargers?
I think right now I would take the Texans.
Oh, that's an overreaction.
Well, the Chargers, it might be an overreaction to the Texans, but the Chargers have a way of chargering. I don't know any other way to say it.
I mean, they just handled the Jets. I don't think the Chargers would lose to Carolina.
They didn't handle the Jets. You were just dumping on them at the beginning of the show.
It was handled. Was that game ever in doubt?
No, but you were just dumping on them at the beginning of the show.
I don't know, man. They're 4-4. I'm going to pick them this week, whoever they're playing. I'll pick them.
Please be playing. They're playing the Lions. Perfect. Perfect.
Oh, easy, Dubs.
I'm taking
Where is
the
it?
Lions.
Is it in L.A.?
Yeah, that's going to be a Detroit home game.
Perfect. Detroit coming off a bye, too.
Oh, easy.
Oh, they're sleeping.
Easy. Easy. All right, let's move on.
Wait, can I? So.
Go ahead.
In this talk of Ravens versus Chiefs. Yes. The Ravens point differential is +115. Mm-hmm. Kansas City is +65. So they're almost doubling.
There you go.
Which is, I mean, yeah, the Ravens have blown out two really good NFC teams back-to-back weeks, which is really impressive.
Not back-to-back weeks. They played Arizona in between, but.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Steelers, what do you think their points differential is?
It's got to be negative.
Team.
It's got to be negative.
Good. We'd take them. They're negative 30.
Negative 30.
And they're a 5-3 team.
Negative 30.
Wholeheartedly going to make the playoffs too.
My goodness. Well, you know what the funny thing is? This is really, really bad from the Raiders standpoint. The Raiders are they've scored, I think, 30 less points than they've given up. And that was with the massive victory they had this weekend.
Yeah. Well, they couldn't score over 20 points for the first 7-8 weeks.
Oh, I know. Well, let's just get to it, right, Nick? Let's just get to it because.
Get to what?
Get to the Raiders.
Who gives a shit about the Raiders?
Oh, my God.
What are they?
Oh, man. Well, they're 4-5. Wow. Which is just, look, the biggest thing for me about that Raider game.
Yep.
More than anything else was the fact that everybody just seemed so happy. Like the coach seemed like he was super happy. The players seemed really invested. And it was such an interesting juxtaposition between Pierce and McDaniels because, you know, one of the criticisms and knocks on McDaniels was that he didn't relate to players very well. He had a tough time connecting with the players. And all throughout the broadcast, you see highlights of Antonio Pierce just walking up to people and, you know, high-fiving everybody and chest bumping all the players. He's got practice squad players out there with the team just to be a part of, you know, what's going on. And it just looked completely different. And we had a first time play caller. I do not know his name off the top of my head.
Nice.
He looked like he was like 30 years old. I believe he was the quarterback's coach. And the plays that we were running, everything just offensively looked so much smoother, looked so much smarter. There were no play calls where I was scratching my head going, you know, why are we running a reverse on fourth and one? Or like our play caller seemed to understand that Josh Jacobs isn't actually a really good running back and was utilizing him a lot. Jacobs had 26 carries. He did cross over 100 yards, but the last carry of the game, he got he lost 3 yards, so it pushed him back to 98 on the day. He had 2 touchdowns. Aiden O'Connell was really, really sharp throughout the game, which was just really nice to see. He had a lot of – he missed like 2 or 3 balls, but everything else for the most part was really – really good. There weren't any like errant throws from him. He had a big bomb down the field, which was really cool to see. It was the longest play of the season for the Raiders. It was to Trey Tucker. It was really, really nice. Just the atmosphere as a fan, and it looked like as a player, was totally, totally different. And did you hear about the whole meeting stuff that happened before, like in the previous week?
Am I supposed to pretend that I didn't? Because you did tell me.
Oh, okay. Well, for anybody,
I mean, no, dude, I didn't hear about it. What happened?
Oh well, let me fill you in. So I'll just read you guys quickly. This is from an Instagram account. It was posted by Sports and Playmaker TD. this was a tweet that was sent out.
Trusted I'll source.
Just, yeah, I know. I'll just read it. This was there was a meeting that was held by like the players and the team. And I'll just read it verbatim here. Before firing Josh McDaniels, the Raiders had a team meeting where players directed their frustrations at McDaniels and unloaded on him, highlighted the unloaded part. McDaniels had Antonio Pierce speak on his behalf, and Pierce brought up the Giants 07 team that beat the undefeated Patriots, explaining how that team believed they could beat anyone. Pierce said the Raiders needed that mindset. The players all loved it, but McDaniels didn't. McDaniels told Pierce when everyone left, "Don't ever talk about the Patriots like that." That's when everyone saw how divided the building was, and owner Mark Davis wanted Pierce as his head coach. So apparently... And what it wasn't in that tweet is apparently there were a lot of players who just, I mean, like the meeting was to express sort of frustration and just get everything out there. And apparently everything basically from everybody who spoke in that meeting was just going after McDaniels. So in a sense, I do kind of feel bad for him. It's got to be tough to have an entire fan base, ownership, and players just completely turn on you like that. But yeah, like I said, it was really refreshing from a fan standpoint. Like I was actually excited for the game this weekend, which I had not been excited for any game this entire season. And I was super, super, super not only happy, but just very enthused before the game and no matter what ended up happening. It was just a good day to be a Raider fan. It was a good week.
Man, I'm happy for you. I really am. You're much better to be around when the Raiders are better.
I really am.
So what happens when the Jets beat them this weekend on Sunday Night Football? Are we going to push the panic meter?
Well, you know what the interesting thing is that this game is kind of a crux for both teams, right? Like I think both teams are inside the locker room. Both of these teams are thinking playoffs. Their record suggests that they could get in. How feasible that is for either team, I'm not sure. But one of the things that I was talking about with my dad is that if you're, you know, the Sunday Night Football marketing team, you could kind of market this game as, in a way, it's not a playoff game, but you have two teams who are potentially vying for like a wild card playoff spot. Look, it's going to be interesting because Aiden going up against that Jets defense is going to be something I'll be really interested to see. Zach Wilson going up against our defense, which seemingly has turned around relatively quickly. the fact that it's Sunday Night Football, I don't know how we've gotten so many primetime games this year.
Well, you know what this was. It was Devonta Adams versus Aaron Rodgers.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
But yeah, this is the third one in 4 weeks.
Something like that.
Because the Bears game was on Sunday? No.
No, but they played...
the Lions were Monday night.
The Lions were a Monday night game, yes. I think the beginning of the season was...
the Steelers, right? That Steelers game was Sunday night?
I believe so. They played the Packers on primetime as well. So they've had a couple games this year, which was really interesting. That's got to have just been a Jimmy G thing.
What do you mean? To get his face on TV?
But like, I don't have any other explanation as to why the Raiders would have been on primetime as much as they have been this year, other than the fact that it was Jimmy G's first season with the team.
I don't think Jimmy G has that kind of pull.
Well, the Raiders certainly didn't have that kind of pull, so I don't know. Again, that's the only justification that I can think of for it.
Okay, but, so the Raiders have to get to 9 wins?
Maybe. They might need 10. Which Oof. I don't think they can do.
Well, just looking at it, Dolphins at Miami is probably an L.
That's probably an L.
Kansas City both times. That's tough to have Kansas City still 2 times left.
Yeah,
to go
that is hard. They typically, I mean, historically they've played them relatively tough, but Denver beat them. I typically always favor the Chiefs and any time they play the Raiders.
And then you got Minnesota, which now, if Kirk Cousins was healthy, I think that's a way tougher game.
The one thing that the Raiders have really going in their favor is the fact that they have so many home games to close out the year, which is really, really nice. But the Giants game was home, the Jets game will be home. They go on the road to play the Dolphins, but then they have 3 straight home games. Chiefs, Vikings, Chargers, they play 2 road games and then they end with the Broncos. So they're at home a lot. And I don't know. Again, the Dolphins, Chiefs, and the other Chiefs game are the 3 games that are – could they steal one of them? I guess hypothetically, but that's going to be tough.
But even if they were to lose all those games and just win every single other one, they'd probably make it in. They'd be 9-8.
Maybe. Looking at the standings right now, I think every team from the AFC North would be in at the moment.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's the issue.
They might. I still don't believe in the Browns.
Well, the Browns defense is legit and they still have to contend with, Buffalo again, whether or not you think that they're a great team or not, who knows? They could be in a similar situation to Miami where they're going to get fat on the bad teams and they could squeak their way in with 10 wins. Yep. So I don't think it's realistic for the Raiders this year, but it's nice to know that the season is not completely over.
And they hold that tiebreaker over the Raiders because they beat them earlier in the year. They have some tough games, but they got Broncos, Jets, Chargers. I mean, they have some tough games. They got Miami.
They're 3-1 at home this year. So they've defended their, for as bad as they've been.
Who won at home? Buffalo?
No, the Raiders.
Oh.
Buffalo, same thing. Buffalo's 4-1 at home. They're 1-3 on the road.
Mm. Well, they're gonna be in Philly. They have in Kansas City and they're at Miami.
That's rough.
To finish out.
And they also have Dallas on their schedule, too.
Yeah. Yeah, but Dallas That's traveling, tough. An indoor team traveling to Buffalo in December. That could be tough.
That is rough. Well, let's talk about Dallas because they played what was the most, at least, high-profile game of the weekend.
Got to be frustrating for Dallas fans.
How they ended that game?
How they end every game. I mean, they should have won that game.
Yeah. I mean, Dak Prescott played out of his mind. He was 29 for 44, 374 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. CeeDee Lamb had another monster game.
The dude's 11, open every play.
I know, 11 catches, 191 yards. Dallas had well over 100 more yards than Philly. They had almost 200 more passing yards than Philly. And they averaged about 6 yards per play. I don't know. I don't know why Dallas didn't win this game.
Yeah, time of possession pretty even. They lost the turnover battle, but
and, yeah,
they turned it over. Two times? Two times in the red zone.
They lost one fumble.
Well, they turned over on downs on that play, that one, and yes. They failed the 2-point conversion. But man, it was there. They played a lot better than I thought they would have.
Well, and then at the end of the game, I mean, you have the clock management blunder again. I don't know why they don't spike it at the end of that game. I mean, there's 27 seconds left on the clock, and I get the thought process of maybe
they went
running
for the fake spike. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I get the idea of maybe running another play to try to catch the defense off guard a little bit, but I think in that situation when you're that close already, I feel like it would just be better to spike it and just try to dial up your two best plays instead of just trying to scramble.
Was that after the sack? That was after the sack, right?
I believe it was after the sack, yeah.
Yeah, I don't get – because it was four down territory anyway because you don't have enough time, right? Mm-hmm. So I guess that's the thought of, like, we can't spike it because we'll lose it down. But that would have made it third down.
Yeah, they still would have had two more plays.
Man, that's just tough. As soon as I saw the Philly go offsides to give Dallas, 5 yards to go into the goal, I was like, oh, this, like, Dallas is doing it. This is Dallas's time right here. And then they get that false start and then a holding call on the same player back-to-back plays, and they just keep going backwards. And I mean, that last play, it seemed like CD was like they were almost setting up for like a hook and ladder type of thing. But I mean, that was just you how do you throw that ball short of the end zone?
I'm watching it right now, and like I'm going back to the play, and Dak gets sacked right at 22 seconds, and then they don't snap the ball until the 10-second mark. So they let 12 seconds off the clock right there. And again, I know that you lose a down by doing that. I get it. But you gain an extra play, basically. You lose a down, but you gain the ability to run at least a second play. And I think the trade-off there is worth it, spiking it in that situation.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Also, the most damning thing for me for Dak was the series prior where they got to fourth down, I think at like Philly's 40-yard line, and he throws it to their fourth string receiver on fourth down. And it was like, he threw it up like a jump ball to the guy. And it was like, how are you not finding CeeDee Lamb, which he ended up being double covered, but he's not even looking his direction. And then you have Michael Gallup, and you have Brandon Cooks. But no, we're throwing to this guy. I don't even know his name. Let me try.
Jalen Tolbert? Is that his name?
Was it?
Or Kevontae Turpin?
No, it was Tolbert. And you have Jake Ferguson, who's having a great game at tight end. It's just odd. It was a really weird decision for me.
Yeah.
And Dak Prescott's way better quarterback than me, but it's like, that's just weird that the play call wasn't made. Like, we are going to CD. If he is not open, Michael Gallup or Jake Ferguson have to be open because they're single covered.
I feel like Philly really needed this win because throughout the year, I know that they're 8-1 right now. They have the best record in the NFL. But I think throughout the year, everybody, including us, have kind of side-eyed Philly a little bit, not because of anything other than maybe last year they were just so dominant, it would be unrealistic to expect them to do that again this year. So maybe that's more on, you know, us as viewers. But they certainly haven't looked as dominant as they did last year. They were squeaking away with few wins here and there. Like, they beat the Commanders by 3. They only beat the Jets by 6. They had another tough game against the Commanders where they only won by 7. They barely beat the Vikings. They barely beat the Patriots. But then again, I guess, you know, you look at the two teams that they've played this year who we think are, and who everybody really thinks are, potential Super Bowl contenders. They handled the Dolphins and they beat the Cowboys. So it's really interesting. Like, they, on the teams where you expect them to blow them out, they haven't. And in the games where you think, oh man, this is where Philly's going to drop one, they haven't. So I don't know what to think of Philly.
No, I agree. I think it was a more important win for Dallas, because I think this win would have been, I mean, it would have just reshaped everyone's thinking of how that division could fall out. You would have had Dallas a half game.
So you think it would have been a bigger game for Dallas to win?
Yeah, wholeheartedly. Yeah. I think if they went out and won the first game of the year between those two, it's like, oh, well, Dallas is right there in that division. But now Philly has – they've almost kept status quo with this. They held serve with this win, and it's like, okay, this is Philly's division.
Right.
For sure. But if Dallas were to have won that, I think it would have been pretty eye-opening. I'll speak for me. If they were able to win that game in Philadelphia, I think that would have been a huge statement for that team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Philly's played – I don't think they definitely haven't played as well that they did last year, but I mean, they're 8-1. Like, they're winning these close games. They had two close games against Washington that they found ways to win. I think wins against Miami and Dallas, I think those two teams are clearly like that tier below contenders. In my opinion, because both of those teams are talented. They've been able to put up a bunch of points against really bad teams, but haven't been able to beat any of the good teams.
Right. Yeah, the most important thing about Philly is that they just keep winning. And honestly, as long as they keep doing that, I guess at the end of the day, who cares how it looks? Because I mean, any team can beat any team on any week. That was a lot of anys, but you know what I mean? So let's get to the very last game, not the very last game of the weekend, but what was the very last big game of the weekend, and that was Cincinnati-Buffalo.
Mm.
So what do you come out of this game thinking? The fact that Cincinnati is legitimately a title contender, or Buffalo is legitimately not?
I come away more so thinking that Cincinnati is that team. I think we joked around about it when they were 1-2 that, oh yeah, like, they're going to come back. They're going to win this division. But now it's like, yeah,
you said that
all the way back.
You said that before I did.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it was like going out on a limb. I wouldn't actually put real money to it, but now it's like, yeah, they're right there. With Kansas City, there, like, would we really be surprised with how well Cincinnati's playing right now? If I were to tell you, or your future self is coming back, and they're like, yeah, Cincinnati's in the AFC Championship game.
Well, I'll tell you,
would you be surprised?
No, not at all. And you know what's going to be awesome is in 2 weeks on November 16th, this is going to be the best Thursday night game of the year. I can't believe it's on Thursday, but it's going to be Bengals Ravens. That's the game that I want to see. I'm more interested in seeing the Bengals play the Ravens.
Wait, is that? That's not Thanksgiving?
No. I'm looking at the schedule right now. It's November 16th.
Okay. Yeah. That's an awesome game for Thanksgiving. They're making up with that game for this week's Thanksgiving game.
I don't know why you keep saying Thanksgiving. Do you mean Thursday?
Thursday, yeah. I'm sorry.
Okay. I was like,
I got Kevin O'Connell in the brain.
I know.
Buffalo, this just isn't a good matchup for Buffalo. I think Cincinnati's been able to really control them. the last few times, these both of these iterations of these teams, with Joe Burrow versus Josh Allen, I think Joe Burrow's gotten the upper hand so far. And so I'm not going to overreact. Is it worrisome that Buffalo's offense has stalled in the last like 5 weeks? Yeah, that's a little worrisome, but can we look up and there are 11 wins later in the year? Yeah, that can totally happen.
Yeah, I'm looking at the remainder of their schedule. So they have the Broncos. They should be fine there. They play the Jets. That's a divisional game. And, I mean, the Jets beat them earlier this year. So yep. It's in Buffalo, though. But then they have a three-game stretch where they go Philly, Kansas City, Dallas. And then they still have Miami on their schedule. That's going to be a really interesting stretch to see how they handle those three teams, especially because two of them are on the road. They go to Philly and they go to Kansas City, which I think if you were picking out of Philly, Kansas City, and Dallas, the two places that you absolutely wouldn't want to go, it would be those places. I think you'd rather go to Dallas than any of those two places.
Yeah.
So that midpoint of their schedule, because, I mean, I don't think either of us would be surprised if they won all three of those games. But I also don't think
– I'd be surprised. That'd be a huge statement for them.
It would be a huge statement for them. But would it be surprising if they lost all three of those games?
Probably not.
Right.
I think that's more likely.
Yeah. So, like, let's say hypothetically we live in – yeah. So, okay. So, So, you think it's more likely that they would lose all three than win all three. Let's say hypothetically they did lose all three. They win these next two. What are they sitting at, 7-4? And then they drop those three, and then they're 7-7.
Yeah. So the thing that we have to talk about with the AFC, with all these teams that are in the mix, the Jets, Bills, Texans, you could kind of throw in the Colts, the Raiders, the Chargers. I've heard a lot of people say an outside chance is Denver since they're playing a lot better.
No.
All those teams, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have a chance because Cincinnati, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, and Baltimore all still have to play each other.
Right.
And they got to beat each other up. There's no way that it could fall somehow that all four of those teams make it in.
That would be funny if it did end up happening, though.
Like Baltimore's 2-1 in division. Pittsburgh's 2-0. They still have to play Cincinnati twice. I think Cleveland's 1-2, and then Cincinnati's 0-2.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So if they all just fell to 3-3 within division.
Well, Cincinnati's got two divisional games over the next 3 weeks. They have the Ravens on that on November 16th, and they get the Steelers. And then they close the season with Steelers, Chiefs, which is not in their division, but it's an AFC game, and then the Browns. So. Man, this weekend of football was so good between, you know, the Josh Dobbs story, the Dolphins Chiefs game, which was just, again, not very exciting, but that was a great matchup. The Seahawks Ravens game, which we didn't even get to, that was a massive statement for Baltimore. They are clicking on all cylinders right now.
Mm-hmm.
The Raiders game was pretty fun just from the standpoint of like, hey, this is the first game without McDaniels. They just absolutely obliterate the Giants. That was interesting to see. Dallas and Philly, Bills, Bengals. It was a great weekend of football. And to conclude that, let's go to ESPN's power rankings real quick and let's see where everybody falls heading into week 10. I will start from the bottom at 10, and then I'll get your reaction. You let me know what you think.
Okay.
All right, so number 10, they have Cleveland. It's weekend into the top 10. They have Dallas at 9. San Francisco at 8.
Oh, okay.
Cincy at 7.
Yep.
Jacksonville at 6.
Don't agree on that one.
That one's interesting. Detroit at 5.
It's too high.
Miami 4.
Man.
Baltimore 3. Kansas City 2. And Philly 1. So there was our answer from ESPN on whether or not Baltimore or Kansas City – was higher. I'm gonna look up real quick if like a Bleacher Report power rankings real quick. See if I can get another one. And okay, so here we go. Bleacher Report power ranking. Okay, so let's see where, because I want to get two different opinions on this. Because if you were obviously anybody who's listening, and I'm sure you noticed this too, Sam, Buffalo is outside of that top 10. They're actually sitting at 11.
Yep.
So on Bleacher Report, San Francisco is at 10. Buffalo is at 9. Dallas, 8. Miami, 7. Detroit, 6. Cincy, 5. Jacksonville, 4.
Ooh. So
both sites like Jacksonville a lot. Baltimore at 3, Kansas City at 2, and Philly at 1. So that both sides have Baltimore below Kansas City. I think that's interesting. Both sites are heavily in favor of Jacksonville, and San Francisco is near the bottom of the top 10 on both lists. So, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think from 9 to 12 is kind of a 13 is kind of a shit show.
Yeah.
I want to say like it's you could stack up Pittsburgh and Cleveland are like the same team to me. Buffalo, they just haven't played well for five straight weeks. So I'm not mad about keeping them out of the top 10. Dallas, I think they're there by, I mean, just like they kind of have to be there. Like they haven't really proved it, but they're just there by default almost. Mm-hmm. I think I would say San Francisco and Cincinnati have to be above Jacksonville. But I could see, because San Francisco's lost 3 straight, that it's like, oh, if we're going off of current form and they didn't play last week, it's like, then I guess that makes sense. But I'd probably put Cincinnati and San Francisco above Jacksonville, and Detroit, I think, is too high. They had a bye. So they move up. They move up 3 spots from last week, even though they had a bye. So that's interesting. I'm just purely going off of ESPN. ESPN had Miami at 2 last week. I think that says a little bit more than what's happening this week. So dropping them down to 4, I think they almost have to drop out of the top 10.
Right.
Because who have they beaten?
Mm-hmm.
And then the top 3, I think, is all right.
I'm kind of surprised the Raiders aren't cracking the top 15.
Well, they got Kevin O'Connell, the quarterback.
I know. You know, I was surprised in both rankings that Houston wasn't a little bit higher. Houston is 17th. Mm-hmm. Well, I thought maybe they'd be in like 16 or above. Like, I thought maybe they'd have them right now, like above like Minnesota, who, you know, doesn't have, I mean, obviously they have the incredible Josh Dobbs, but
right.
I figured maybe they would have them like above Minnesota or maybe even above the Saints a little bit.
They beat the Saints.
They did. Yeah, exactly. So that was a little bit interesting.
And the Chargers are too high. I think we want the Chargers to be higher than the Saints and Minnesota.
No, I don't.
And Houston. Well, I think everyone wants them to be. We think that they're better than them, but I just don't think they've played. Like, if we're going off of what we've seen, I think Minnesota has got to be above New Orleans, above the Chargers, maybe above Seattle.
I'm not comfortable with ESPN putting Jacksonville above Cincinnati. I know Jacksonville's 6-2, but Cincinnati being below Jacksonville, I'm not in agreement with that. And I think at this point you have to put Detroit over Miami.
Why?
Well, Detroit has better wins. Well, I mean, just purely, I mean,
oh, they beat Kansas City.
I was going to say, if we're just going off of like, I mean, I know that they got blitzed by the Ravens. But I mean, the fact that they beat Kansas City, they held that. I mean, that overtime loss against the Seahawks was a crazy game. the two teams that they've lost to have been legitimate, like really good teams, which again, I know Miami kind of falls into the same belt there, but you know, they did beat the Chiefs. So I think just by that alone, the fact that at least they have a big win on their schedule would have put them a little bit higher. I mean, at least like one slot higher than Miami.
Yeah, if you think about it, Detroit's best win is Kansas City and Miami's best win is Buffalo.
Right, and so they both like, have six wins. So it's not like one team is like 7-2 and the other one is like 6-3. So I don't know.
It's a tough one.
Yeah, it's very very interesting. I always like looking at two different websites to sort of see, you know, what the difference is between.
I'm just confused why Detroit moves up three spots from a bye, and could have moved up more, but Jacksonville stayed stagnant and San Francisco moved down,
mm-hmm.
off of a bye. Like they saw some bad play from San Francisco this last weekend that. Really I guess. Wanted them to move down.
I guess.
That's bizarre to me.
You guys are resting too hard.
You're getting too healthy. We don't like it. Devo City's coming back. Oh, you guys traded for Chase Young. Yep, we'd hate it.
I know.
Why are you reloading?
You guys are getting too healthy. All right, well, let's pick your 49ers this weekend and all of the other games because we
– I need to win.
Yeah, I know. So it's 5. It's 5-3. It's 5-3 right now. The score is much closer than I thought it was going to be.
Okay, wait.
The first couple weeks.
So ESPN has Jacksonville ahead of San Francisco, but San Francisco is favored on the road in Jacksonville.
Well, there you go.
What are we talking about?
Check your data, ESPN.
Take that for data.
Take that for data. Oh, man. All right, let's do this. Panthers-Bears. Thursday night football. That is a horrible game. That's so bad.
I hear they're trying to get Justin Fields available for that game. Let's see here. Because that clearly changes it.
Right. I'm not seeing anything at the moment. It says 1 hour ago, delayed decision. Chicago Bears waiting on Justin Fields. I don't know what that means.
He remain limited. I guess he's throwing with a glove.
Okay. So even if he does come back, even if he does come back, you're not getting a super healthy Justin Fields.
Which even a super healthy Justin Fields isn't. I mean, give me the Bears. Tyler Badgett's been playing well.
Well, I think it's Tyson Badgett.
Kevin O'Connell? Is that what you said?
I think it's Tyson. Don't let's fact check real quick. Yeah, Tyson. Uh-huh, let's go.
Gosh.
Let's go. Because I'm so. I have absolutely no feel for this game. I'm going to go with the Bears as well.
Oh, I thought you were – I was going to write it down. Yeah, the Panthers kind of – they wronged me. I picked them last week, and that was just a mistake.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with what's going on with them. Colts-Patriots.
Colts.
I think that's a Germany game as well. It's
a 6:30. Yeah. So that game's going to be awful.
Yeah, let's go Colts. Let's go Colts. Beat the Patriots by 1,000 points, please. Ravens-Browns. That's an outstanding offense. Potentially the hottest offense right now going up against one of the best defenses in the league. So what you thinking?
So this game is a 6-point spread.
Mm.
I don't think it's going to be that. Like, I don't think the Ravens are winning by a touchdown.
It's going to be a close game. Yeah.
I feel like we ask this every week. Is Deshaun Watson playing? Did he play last week?
Yes, he did. He played. Oh. He played pretty well too.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah.
I'll find it for you. He went 19 for 30, 219 yards, 2 touchdowns.
I mean that's not that good.
It's not that bad
against Arizona.
Give me Baltimore.
Baltimore.
Yep. I'm sticking with the Ravens.
But I say Cleveland doesn't lose by more than six.
Yeah, I'm taking Baltimore probably like every game this year.
Oh, okay.
Packers Steelers. Give me the Steelers at home.
Yeah.
49ers Jacksonville, obviously. Ooh. taking the 49 McCaffreys.
Yeah, give me the give me the Niners, man.
Well, of course.
Have I ever picked I think I have picked against the Niners before.
I'm not sure. Saints Vikings. Joshua Ooh. Dobbs. First Derek Carr.
I think it's in Minnesota. Yeah.
It is in Minnesota.
Saints are favored.
I think they should be favored, but not by much.
I think this is one of those instances where a quarterback comes in the middle of a game, almost that Gardner Minshew effect, and has like an outstanding game. But when they get that full week to prepare, they come out sluggish. Mm. And the defense gets a full week to prepare. Mm. So I think New Orleans.
Yeah, I'm riding with my boy DC. Texans, Bengals, give me the Bangs.
Yep.
And then Buccaneers, Titans, I'll take the Bucks at home after a tough game against the Texans.
Ooh, that's a tough game. Those are two, like, bad to mediocre teams.
Mm-hmm.
God, do I want to take the Titans? Will Levis has been playing well.
Yeah.
But
so Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, Baker Mayfield played really well.
I'll see if I can – I'll pull up his stats real quick this season. He's been –
I'm gonna take the Titans.
Okay, he's been really good. He's thrown for about 1,800 yards, 12 touchdowns, only 4 interceptions. And he's got a quarterback rating of 92.7 this year. Yeah, he's played really well. I was looking at Joe Burrow stats earlier today, and that's almost identical to what Burrow has this season. So,
yeah.
But
they are on a 4-game losing streak.
The Buccaneers.
Yeah.
Snaps after the Titans.
That's Big what I'm W. afraid of.
Big W. Well, we already know what we're doing with the Lions Chargers.
Oh, yeah, we do. Give me the Chargers.
Give me the Lions, baby.
Were you waiting for me to
Oh, yeah. As soon as I wrote Buccaneers Titans, I just went on to write Lions Chargers on my sheet. I didn't. And I'm so happy to do it too. Go Lions. I'm going to be watching that game like every single second of that game.
Is that a 10 a.m. game? Oh, no, it's a,
it's a 1 o'clock game. Falcons, Cardinals, Battle of the Birds.
What did I say? I can't pick the Falcons. Back. Give me the Cardinals.
Kyler's coming back. Yeah, every time you've taken the Falcons, they've lost.
Can we have a clause that if Kyler doesn't play, he's playing. I thought they were just gearing him up to play.
3 hours ago, Cardinals officially activate Kyler Murray from PUP. Where is it? NBC Sports. Cardinals are expecting Kyler Murray to run like he always has. ESPN, Kyler Murray to start Sunday if no setbacks.
Okay. Well, that's a big if.
Yeah. I'm going to take him as well because I have no confidence in the Falcons.
Oh, I love that.
I have no confidence in the Falcons at all. I don't know how they're 4-5. That feels almost more improbable than the Steelers being 5-3 right now. Give me the Cowboys over the Giants, obviously.
Big time.
Yeah. Seahawks over the Commanders?
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. And then I go Raiders at home over the Jets.
Yep.
And then I go Bills over the Broncos.
Well, that's not good. Yeah, I guess.
All right. Well, we're only at 2 right now.
Yeah.
There's a game in here somewhere.
Yeah,
there's a game in here somewhere. I know you want to flip on the Saints Vikings. I know you do.
No, not really. Who did Oh, Seattle just got blown out by Baltimore. Tempted to take the Broncos.
I can flip Saints Vikings. I feel like that makes more sense.
Why?
Well, just because I feel like if one of the if me flipping on the Saints Vikings feels more reasonable than you flipping on Denver Buffalo.
So what if I took the Buccaneers and we just left it up to that Chargers Detroit game?
If you want. You want to leave it on one?
Bet the house on the Chargers.
You're telling me you're going to bet your weekend and our record right now on the Chargers.
Yeah, that seems a little crazy.
I'll do it if you do. I mean, if that's what you want to play.
I don't think New England. I'm tempted to take New England against Indianapolis because that's a Germany game.
Right.
But, like, did we both take Chicago?
We did.
I just said I would never take the Panthers. There's a lot of teams that I'm saying I'm like cutting myself off of.
I can flip Viking Saints if you want.
Don't do that. Come on. That's your boy DC. Come on.
I know it's DC, but
you don't want to do that. Come on, man. I'm tempted to take the Jets.
I was gonna say I might take the Falcons. I might take the Falcons.
The Falcons isn't a bad one.
I know.
Kyler's not gonna be good in his first game.
You'd think, right? But Josh Jobs wasn't supposed to be good in his first game either.
There's a lot of teams that I'm very tempted to take, but I took the Jets last week and they sucked.
I know.
And the Raiders have a pretty good pass rush.
They have the 15th ranked defense in the league right now, and I think they had 8 sacks against the Giants.
Jeez, please.
Which, by the way, another Max Crosby stat for you. Most tackles for loss in their first 75 career games since 2000. The list is J.J. Watt, Aaron Donald, Von Miller, Lavonte David, and then Max Crosby.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put him in the Hall of Fame today.
I know, seriously. But you want to know what the craziest thing is? Is that so? This, like I said, this is most tackles for loss first 75 career games since 2000. Aaron Donald has 92. J.J. Watt had 125.
Wow! Wow!
That's crazy.
How many games played between those two?
Between
J.J. and Aaron Donald.
Well, that stat was just specifically through 75 career. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah, I think we forget how good J.J. Watt was.
Yeah, he lapped the field. All right, if you can't come up with one, then I'm just going to flip Falcons Cardinals.
Don't do it. Come on, man. Give... Gosh, I don't want to take the Jets. Give me the Patriots.
The Patriots.
Oh gosh.
All right. Well, then let me flip on one too.
I like it.
Just because you're flipping on one that you're not feeling good about, and I'll do the same.
I'm probably like 0-5 on international games.
Give me the Falcons over the Cards.
Okay.
I hate that. What about how well did the Panthers play last week? They did not play well at all. Oh my gosh. The Colts.
Yeah. Give me the Jets.
Okay, I was going to say, I'll flip on the Vikings, but if you're going to take the Jets, then...
I don't want you to flip on the Vikings.
All right, well, those are our 5. All right. Certainly not the sexiest matchups this weekend compared to this past weekend that we had.
What's the combined win total for the teams I just chose?
So you have the... You have the Titans, three the Patriots, wins, the Cardinals, wins. And the Jets. I mean, mine's not much better. I mean, I have the Buccaneers, the 14. Colts, the Falcons, and the Raiders.
I got 14 wins. How many wins you got?
Between the Buccaneers. Okay. So the Buccaneers, Did you count? So you counted all of your team. Well, mine's going to be disproportionate because I have the Lions on my list. But oh, well,
sorry about it.
So the Buccaneers are at 3, the Lions, so that would move me up to 9. The Colts have 4, so that puts me at 13. And then both Atlanta and the Raiders, I think they both have
4.
4?
Yeah.
So
22?
Yeah.
I got 14. If you add up the Patriots, Cardinals, and the Titans, you get the Lions.
Look, nobody's forcing you to pick the Chargers.
There is a gun to my head right now.
There's nobody forcing you to take the Chargers.
The one I'm most confident about.
Of your own, whatever. You know what I was? We only have a few more minutes. You know what I was supremely confident in?
What?
The fact that the Kings were going to beat the freaking Rockets.
Oh, I don't even want to talk about that, dude.
And they didn't. Not only did they not beat the Rockets, the Rockets beat the shit out of the Kings.
The Raiders. I bet the Raiders probably would have put up a
bigger. The Raiders. They.
Max Crosby would have been a beast in the paint. Sengun would have had would have done.
Max Crosby would have beat the crap out of Dylan Brooks.
Oh, big time.
Oh, man. He would have grabbed him
by
the
back of his jersey and just thrown him down.
Is that
just
a bad matchup?
I mean, no Fox. So I think yeah. I was talking to Ben, and Ben's been on the show a bunch of times. So I was saying, you know, Fox should be like a leader in the MVP voting because of how bad the Kings look without him.
But the crazy thing is they're not that bad.
But they can't hit shots.
Yeah, I don't know.
Their 3-point percentage, and they are jacking up threes. I get Mike Brown wants Keegan to keep shooting, but Keegan can't hit the freaking ocean right now. Kevin Huerter had a good game, at least. And if you take away his good game, no one's hitting. Duarte's not hitting. Davion Mitchell's shooting all right, I guess. I mean, it's just
like, yeah, he's been okay.
But he's not giving you – their leading scorer right now is Sabonis, averaging close to 16.
Sabonis had 8 points.
Ugh. Yeah, he didn't look like he was trying to find his shot at all.
No, Sengun totally outplayed him. He had 17 points, 12 assists, and 8 rebounds.
Man. And I was just bagging on Sengun the whole time.
I know. I mean, do we think that there's possibly going to be a rotation change? Like maybe a starter
there
change?
There was. I think there was a Jordan Ford sighting last night.
I know, the local kid.
He came in at, I think, in like the second quarter. And we were like, oh, yeah, Mike Brown is.
5 points, 1 assist, 1 rebound.
Mike Brown is trying everything. Kevin Huerter still shooting 24% from 3. And Keegan Murray shooting 26% from 3. So that's good.
That's good.
Chris Duarte shooting 33%. Davion Mitchell shooting 30%. Sasha, who I think we both think is a good 3-point shooter, shooting 27%.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, they are shooting half of what they were shooting last year, percentage wise, and that's probably why this team is only averaging 110 points. They're averaging 10 points less per game than they were last season.
Yeah.
They led all efficiency measures last season, and they are just nothing close this year. And the defense is still, I mean, they are, gosh, how many fouls? They average 21 personal fouls a game.
Oh my God. The free throw differential was just crazy between these past two games.
In the first quarter.
I know.
I think the Rockets had like 20 free throw attempts in the first quarter.
I know. And not only that, but the Kings suck at the line right now. They were 11 for 20.
Yeah. Sabonis
in that final game.
Sabonis kind of sucks from the free throw line. I'm not gonna lie.
I know it's the beginning of the season. We're 6 games in, and Fox is out. So like, there's, you know, that's something to obviously take into account. But man, I didn't expect them to look that bad against the Rockets. I really didn't.
Yeah, I thought that those. I think we were like, oh yeah, they'll win these next two games against Houston.
Yeah, like,
for sure. They'll pencil it in. They have the 21st ranked defense. So kind of improvement from last season.
A little bit. Yeah.
But offensively they're averaging, and these points, like the Pacers are averaging close to 125 points per game. That's not going to last, but the Kings are at 110, like just below the middle of the pack pretty much. They are near the top in fouls committed. Not super bad in turnovers. The weird thing for me, right? Like the Kings are, and I guess this is like a huge, yeah, this can be attributed to De'Aaron, but the pace in yesterday's game, it's like there was no urgency for them to get into sets. Or when they're in those sets, it's like their dribble penetration was nothing. They weren't getting by Dylan Brooks, Jalen Green, what's his name? Number 10, super long guy. He's like in his second year. But they just weren't able to get by anyone. Or Fred VanVleet. They weren't able to expose Fred VanVleet at all. Like, it was just there was
Jabari Smith.
Jabari Smith. Yeah, he played out of his mind. He was a beast on the boards.
21 points, 11 rebounds.
He was giving the Kings so much trouble in that game. And they made Jalen Green look like a superstar.
Yeah, it was, again, the first game was, I have not seen the Kings come out that flat in a game in a long time. They came out so poorly.
That looked like DeMarcus Cousins.
Yes.
Kings.
Yeah. Houston wins third straight and moves to 500 for the first time since 2021. So there's that too.
So you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 teams in the NBA shooting worse from 3-point land than the Kings.
Love it. I freaking love it. I'm so happy about that. Pleased with that.
But on the bright side, the Kings are second in attempts per game.
There we go.
So let's just keep shooting.
Keep jacking them up. They'll fall eventually.
Don't even worry about it.
So we play the Blazers tomorrow as of this recording. So that'll be Wednesday night.
If they lose to the Blazers, that's a huge red flag.
Yes, it is. And I think the Blazers are not good. Yeah, I think we would have said that was a red flag that they lost to the Rockets. But maybe the Rockets aren't as bad as we thought.
They're not going to be a playoff. Like, they're not. They're not going to be a play-in team.
Right, but I guess what I'm trying to say is they're not that bad.
I think Detroit has a lot of talent on their team. Houston has accumulated a lot of talent on their team, but like they should not be losing to that team twice in a row. I think it is kind of weird if you get blown out by a team and it's like you don't have any time to practice and try to fix what was going on. So then you just go in trying to do your same thing and it just doesn't work in the regular season. I could see that. I could see how that's difficult for a team to do.
Right.
But this is a more experienced Sacramento team getting just walked. It's like they're on a leash getting walked by Houston up and down. Like, oh, do you need to go to the bathroom, Sacramento? Oh, Sabonis. Oh, do you need to stop to pee? Oh, that's what it was. The whole night. Ime Udoka was just like feeding Sacramento treats the whole time. Who's your daddy?
Yeah, it was bad.
Who's your daddy, Sacramento?
It was bad. It was really bad. And look, I expect that it'll get better. I mean, it's nowhere near time to hit the panic button. Kind of sucks.
This is what I was thinking. There's guys like Caruso, people think is going to be available because somehow Chicago's looked worse than the Kings. Like, there's teams out there that have looked worse than the Kings. Chicago, maybe Toronto. Like, there's a couple – Washington's looked worse. But, like, an OG Anunoby – I know we've been saying for, like, 5 years that the Kings should trade for OG Anunoby, but this would be a perfect time for them to get him. Or a guy like Alex Caruso. Alex Caruso would be perfect.
He would.
On Sacramento because he's a seemingly better shooter. I think he's just a better version of Chris Duarte at this moment. Like, the Kings are trying to use Chris Duarte in a role that – he's just not working in. Like, I think he needs the ball more to put up more production. And Caruso's never been a guy that's needed the ball.
Bright spot in the game was Keon Ellis came in, played really well. In the 15 points.
When they were down by 50?
I mean, still. Still. I think he's 4 for 6 from the three-point line. I mean, look, you're looking for something, right? Right now.
I'm looking for a lot of things. Right now they're looking up at Portland.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
Never mind. Portland should win this game.
I know.
Oh no. Oh no.
Well,
why did we talk about the Kings? We could
hopefully next week, by the time we're filming again, we'll be in a different place. But right now it's been a rough start for the old Sacktown Kings.
Dallas is still going.
Yeah, I know.
Could you imagine if the Kings had Luka Doncic? If only they could have made that work.
No, I keep De'Aaron Fox. Screw Luka. I don't want him. I don't want him. I never wanted him. I don't want him.
Minnesota's
playing. I don't want him. Minnesota is playing well.
They beat Denver.
Yep. Correct. Well, hopefully by the time we get to next episode, we'll be in a little bit of a different spot. But as of right now, we are in shambles as Kings fans, and we'll reconvene in 7 days. Anyway, thank you all so much for listening to the episode. We really do appreciate it. Enjoy your week. Enjoy the weekend. I mean, as always, go Kings. If you're a Warrior fan, you still suck. We're just keep an eye on that Chargers-Lions game for us. Yeah. Because there's no way that the Chargers are going to win that game.
Do you think there's people that are out there watching games and seeing the results and it's like, oh, Jason's going to win this week. Jason won in picks this week.
Potentially. Does your dad ever bring it up? A lot of pull. No, he doesn't.
He doesn't wait for the picks?
Probably not.
That's too bad. He probably just listens to the 20-minute rant you give about the Raiders every single week.
Oh, whatever. Whatever. All right, y'all. Have a wonderful weekend. We will see you all very soon.
See ya.